Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Shortball with your hosts, myself, Cormac, and my co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how in the hell are we?
You know what? Now that I'm back talking about football, I've probably never been better.
You've gone back-to-back weeks in a United shirt.
Mm-hmm. Doubling down.
This week, you have a win on your back, so it feels huge. A little bit more justified compared to the...
Well, you say this week, but it is the same week that we lost to Grimsby.
Well, we'll discuss that, I'm sure, a little bit later. I kind of forgot about that now.
Yeah.
But absolutely. But yeah, guys, welcome back to another episode. This episode is going to be kind of your transfer deadline special. This is Wednesday of the day, so the deadline closed last night. No, it didn't. It was Monday night. Apologies. We're just going to run through predominantly the Big Six, obviously, because we are an unbelievably biased podcast. And then we're going to run through the rest of the Premier League, kind of the ins and the outs. We're going to grade each club between A, B, C, and D. And obviously, what we say carries massive weight in the football podcast and football community. So everyone will be watching this and then judging, you know, what we think.
I mean, they can judge our opinions all they want, but we are always right.
We are always right.
Always bang on the money. So what you're about to hear is nothing but the strict truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the back of that, we'll be revisiting our famous segment, the Red and White Scoreboard.
Oh, I don't know.
Which is the predictions we do every week. And we'll be checking that out a little bit later, as well as just a little bit of a preview, I guess, for the dreaded international break coming up. But we're going to have another episode coming up of that as well, predominantly international break focused. But if you are new around here, or you aren't new, like, subscribe, comment, tell us everything you want, please. It really helps, and we really appreciate it, and we deserve it. Right, going in then, looking at all the Premier League clubs' transfers, like I said, we're going to grade them through A, B, C, and D. If we're feeling real, maybe we'll give an E.
I'm definitely going to give an F.
Yeah, or an F, or a U, you know, we'll find out. But I think the best place to start, Arsenal.
It's a great place to start, alphabetically.
Alphabetically, exactly.
We are incredibly strong.
It's very, very strong. So Arsenal, I'll give you a quick kind of list here of all the ins that we've had. Kepa, obviously, maybe the signing of the summer. Zubimendi, Norgaard, Madueke, Mosquera, Gyökeres, Eze, and Hincapie. So,
do you have a now total spend to hand as a statistic?
I don't, and you've really put me on the spot there. I can give you some serious calculations real quick. I mean, I know, obviously, net spend.
Probably around 250.
Yeah, it is thereabouts. I mean, again, these are all kind of sums which are without the additional... these are with the...
Sorry, I really put him on there.
And you just laid back and let me do it as well.
Quick maths. About 247 million.
Nice, I like that number. Bear with me, folks. Ooh, 267.
Wow.
So that's obviously we've got Hincapie as well, who's coming on loan, which will be I don't think it's an obligation. I think it's an option to buy next summer.
Is it?
Yeah, because Bertz is an absolute animal, and he takes no shit.
Big first window.
He's had a massive first window. But I think in terms, so as an Arsenal fan coming from an Arsenal perspective, I think this is 99.9% of what we probably could have asked for going into the window. In terms of, we need another midfielder. We got a starting midfielder in Zubimendi. We need a backup in that midfield because the last of Jorginho has left us. We've got Norgaard. We needed a Saka backup, which is what we've got with Madueke. It's a lot of money to spend on a backup, given. But he is also, as we've seen so far this season, he is going to feature on the left-hand side a little bit as well. We needed a striker. We got that striker. We needed a striker for years, but we finally got him in Victor Gyökeres. And then we've also needed a left winger, and we've gone for someone who plays on the left in Eberechi Eze. So, I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I don't think I can really complain too much. I think time will tell in terms of, is Eze going to be that left wing and replacement? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be that starting left winger? Which, when he came on against Liverpool, which we'll touch on briefly later, it looked like he is going to be that left winger for us. I mean, if I had to grade the Arsenal window, I think it's hard to give us much. It's hard to give lower than an A, really.
Gosh, we're starting off strong on this.
Yeah,
podcast.
I mean, I just don't think
perspective is a funny game, isn't it?
It
also,
is. And hindsight,
he also did bring in two more centre backs.
Yes, but you know,
the France against humanity.
Arteta's got to get his kicks, hasn't he? Otherwise, yeah. Where's the fun in that?
But okay, question for you: what's the best signing out of that list, and why?
In terms of just like,
tell me what's the best signing on that list
right now? I think
value for money. Maybe
it's recently biased, but I'm going to say Eze. I think
don't disagree. The fact he got a number 10 shirt as well looks tough.
Yeah, and I think it's a combination of how it came about as well, with us beating Spurs to it, and again the start of the season. God, Martinelli, man, what's happened? We needed a left-sided player and a left winger, which looks like Eze is going to be playing on that left. So I probably have to go him. Prem proven, you know, he's 27 years old, so he's in his absolute prime right now.
Yeah,
and like I said, with us being Spurs to it and all that that came around with it, I think it's one of the most fun I've had with a signing for a long time. So I'd probably say Eze really, and I think there's no excuses now for Arsenal really.
Question.
This season. Go on.
Next question for you in relation to Arsenal's transfer window. Having seen Victor Xhocarez the first three games of this season, thoughts, opinions?
I think he's a decent striker and a fine striker.
Are you lying to yourself? Were you being truthful?
No, I'm
just asking because I do this. I lie
no,
to
absolutely.
Myself.
I think the Liverpool game was a very prime example of we're not playing to his strengths, and I understand that he's going to have to adapt to kind of how we play and everything, but also we bought him as it's meant to be this finished product striker already, who is meant to feed off kind of balls with one-touch finishes and what have you. He's not getting any service, any service at all. There were several times in that Liverpool game where Martinelli had the ball, was running, head down. There was like, there's one chance, especially in the first half, where he could have slipped Gyökeres straight through, just running with his head down, didn't see anything. Madueke, who I thought had a decent game, he looked a bit better, but again, he was kind of more, he was going for goal every time he kind of got through as opposed to looking for that pass, which again, you can't really blame him.
It goes to show, I think in football, everyone's always hankering to sign a player, sign that gap that you can clearly see in a team. But actually the true reality of it is you can spend 70 million on the striker because everyone's been saying Arsenal desperately needs a striker. Does not mean that the system that you guys have in place will play to a striker's advantage. One of the reasons you have played with strikers for the past two, you've had Havertz there, you've had Jesus there.
Yeah.
Granted, not maybe pure nines, but the system's never facilitated a pure nine. You've now obviously put that player in there, and it's probably going to take a while for them to get used to it. Also, in the same breath, it might take a while. It might not work because the system might not facilitate it.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of passing it side to side to side to side, switch wing, switch wing. Odegaard, switch shoulders.
Odegaard.
Pass. No penetration. And I say it because I see Manchester United having done this for years. The best version or the best iteration of teams when they're fearless. Arsenal, three seasons ago, were fearless. That's probably what made them one of the great entertainers in the league at the time. And as Arteta has maybe become more experienced, he's naturally with anyone with age and time, you become more fearful, and it seems like he sucked the fearlessness out of that team to make it so regimented that it's all behind the set pieces, the clear strategic, like, I'll wait until the perfect opening rather than launch the ball into the box.
You've got the big fucker,
big bloke in there. You got Declan Rice in there, who loves charging, and just see what happens. And
well, that lineup against Liverpool kind of said everything. I mean, you saw the starting 11 with Mourinho starting in that
very uninspiring
other eight position. But yes, we'll touch on that game a little bit later. But yeah, I agree. So it is going to take a little bit of time with Gyökeres. I think both the team and him adapting. Again, it's too early to tell really 100%. On how it's going to be.
Final question for you. End of the season, who's starting striker, Havertz or Gyökeres?
I don't think there's one answer. I think it's going to change from game to game. I think so. I think Havertz looks like he's had a minor surgery on his knee, but I think it's only going to be 5 to 6 weeks apparently that he's out, which is good news. But I reckon he comes in and everyone softens up on him a lot this season and realises what he actually offers Arsenal, what he is like in an Arteta system, and how important he is to someone like Arteta.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's going to end well, Apple. Yeah. Even you're watching and go, damn, Apple's all right up there.
Yeah, you know what? Having watched Shakarez now for a couple of games.
Very different players.
I'm thinking of this. Looks like he's missed in that team.
You know, he is missed. I mean, he will be missed. But yeah, overall transfer window, no excuses now for Arsenal. You've got to go and win one of the Champions League or the Premier League.
God, it's just such big expectations. I really like the signing of Zuba Mendy, shout out, by the way.
Yeah, he's I mean, that's kind of got a bit under the radar, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's because it was just almost known for so long that it was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone likes the shiny new thing, especially when it comes to transfers. More is better.
Yep.
So everyone kind of forgot about Zuba Mendy. Everyone's more bothered about the two centre-backs than actually a really solid set, like, international centaur midfielder.
There you go.
That you guys picked up, who looks very good.
He does. He does. He looks
very competent.
Classy. There's something about him I'm still not 100% convinced on yet.
No, he has no output.
No, but he's got to be those balls that he played for Sociedad, kind of, and for Spain as well, I remember in the Euros, when he kind of plays it through the defenders. There was a bit of that at Leeds. But I think, you know, anyone can do that at Leeds, really.
Yeah. Also, all these players who are coming from different leagues just need so much time. Mm. The Premier League's never had, like, the bar has never been higher in terms of quality, physicality. Every aspect of this league has never been at its peak that it is right now.
It's never been, I think there's never been a question of what league is the best league in the world right now. And it is obviously the Premier League.
It is.
Whereas I think before the Spanish league was maybe close, if not.
I think Real Madrid look rubbish now. Xabi Alonso, even they're playing five at the back. actually, no, he's dropped his five at the back. Barcelona, sure, whatever. Italians, they have no money. La Liga and Serie A want to go play their game somewhere else to try and catch up with us. Anyway, we're getting off track.
We are. But yeah, I mean, what would you say about the Arsenal window then? If you had to give it a grade.
I would say I wouldn't quite go for an A. I'm going to go for an A minus.
Okay. I feel like a bullshit answer.
No, it's still high.
No, it is. But anyway, in terms of like,
I just think some of the players you brought, you could have potentially got a better player. Like Kepa, don't like him.
I mean, £5 million for a backup keeper.
Yeah. Altaibo and Neves, $5 million. And he's a starring goalkeeper.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, we'll come on to that.
Yeah. Kepa, I just don't like him. I think if he does have to play for you guys, he's going to cause you guys a problem or two.
I think he was very solid for Bournemouth last year. I think he was fine. And again,
I'm convinced. This is
he's
not.
He's
player.
Also.
Let
he's
me
not,
speak.
He's not, not going to play.
And I just think maybe instead of Victor Gyökeres, you could have gone for a Premier League. I think Ollie Watkins would have been better suited.
Yeah, I do see that. I think. It's an interesting one. Watkins wasn't really sniffed at by anyone, it seemed, in the end, did it?
No, not at all. And he's still at Villa. But what is interesting and what I will know is a penny for Ethan Nanweri's thoughts right now, having signed that five-year contract on the premise they weren't going to go for Eze because they didn't want to block his pathway.
Yep.
Well, consider your pathway blocked, brother, because you signed the contract and they bought Eze and Max Darwin is now emerging as almost ahead of him in the pecking order, came on against Liverpool.
It will be interesting. I'm surprised when Yara didn't start on Saturday, to be honest.
Marina, and that's exactly why I think what is wrong with where Mikel Arteta is going tactically, because he's getting more fearful, and he understands that Mikel Marina will provide a role, he'll provide a service, but Nanweri will be a free spirit.
Yeah, well, you say, like, this kind of chat about him being fearful, whatever. We were one unbelievable free quick lose all authority that I ever had. One unbelievable free kick away from a decent result for Arsenal, whatever. Arteta.
Oh yeah, narrative is a horrible game we played.
Yeah, exactly.
But respectfully, you both deserve to lose.
I think Slot said it best. You play that game 10 times, 8 times to draw, Liverpool win 1, Arsenal win 1. I think it's probably
quite literally
exactly how it goes.
It was such a dull game of football.
It was a really shy game, which is so disappointing because I was really expecting something. Arsenal going to be a drag this year.
I was like, so disappointed because I just want a good game of football. Yeah. And it was just
top teams.
That's it. We've got great players all over the pitch there, and it was just so dull.
Yeah.
And I mean, free kick was ace there. So I'm going to go for an A minus just because I think in a couple of the targets you could have gone on four, maybe you could have.
No, I get that. I get that. I get
But still a very good window. Madueke as well, I feel like that was 50 million.
That's more of a controversial one, which has come to look even better now. Saka is injured, though, that being said.
Yeah, huge. Wait, he has to play on the left again.
Yeah, I know. Can't wait for that. Right. Moving on. So I'll give it an A. You give it an A minus there. We'll go to the next in the quote unquote big six.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they begin with a C and the name are Chelsea.
Are we not hitting United up?
Do you want to go straight to United?
I'll get United out of the way. I'm sick to death.
Get them out of the way. All right, then. Go on, then.
But if you are listening or watching this video, I recently wrote an article on Manchester United's summer transfer. And it's a very long read. It will take you probably 20 minutes or so. And it's a deep dive into the story behind the summer, what happened and why it happened, and how Manchester United got their arrivals through the doors, which we talk about, and who's left the club and why they found themselves somewhere else in Passage News. So I will drop the link in this
description.
Go ahead and read if you want, if that's your bag. But anyway, to go on to Manchester United's transfers, I'm going to just straight away go for my grade. I'm going for a C+.
Okay, that's harsher than what I thought you were going to give. I was going to say C+.
I wrote many a words on this.
True. All right, go on. Give us a bit of a summary of that article of yours, Antonio. What have you got to say about the window?
So firstly, Manchester United did very well, in my personal opinion, to clear out that bomb squad.
Yep.
Although some of the fees that they got, I believe.
I think 40 mil for Garnacho in the end. You take
optically, you take it. You do.
Is he worth that? Probably in today's market, maybe not. But I think you just take it.
As I found out that this time last year in the CIES Football Observatory, something in Switzerland, some guys with numbers and a calculator in Switzerland decided that Alejandro Garnacho was the second most valuable under 21 player in the world, only behind Lamine Yamal. This time last year, I think around 90 million. But remember, he just scored a FA Cup final goal.
Don't care, he's a wanker.
I know, but this time a year ago. So then, obviously, for him just to then... Chelsea, very frustratingly, throughout the negotiation process, up until about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, they'd only offered players the Manchester United didn't want, obviously. Mm. And then they came in with their first offer of 25 million, which again is... If I was Manchester United, I would have just told them, get out of here, like, do one. Anyway, eventually Chelsea came to land on 40 million. It's okay. We'll deal with it. Marcus Rashford obviously got the move very early on to Barcelona. Good luck to him. Last chance saloon if he doesn't ace it.
I hope he does well, man. Yeah. I hope he does well.
Anthony finally got his protracted move to Real Betis.
I'm quite happy.
He was crying.
I felt quite happy for him in a weird way. I know, like, he didn't ask to be bought for 90 million.
No. But did he ask for an extra 6 million at the 11th hour? Absolutely, because his contract owed him with Manchester United approximately 4 to 6 million in lost wages if he were to move to Real Betis on the agreed wages that he had agreed with Real Betis. So he said to Manchester United, give me this money. They were like, lol, no, you want to go to Real Betis. We've already accepted a fee, which we believe to be considerably lower than your current market value.
I think you've done well to get 20 million for him.
Yeah.
21 points.
Well, he just scored 9 goals in 21 games, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, I know, but again, kind of looking purely at what he did at United more than anything else.
Yes. He eventually decided that playing football for the team he wanted to play for was worth it, so he dropped the extra wages he was due. So he's gone. The only member of the Bob squad remaining is Tyrell Malacia, whose failed move to Elche on the final day.
I was going to ask about that. I didn't really see anything about him on the final day.
Yeah, he was just always going to be difficult to move on because of his injury record.
He's had a rough time, hasn't he?
He's had a rough time. And actually, as I found out, the only reason he was put in the bomb squad, because seems a bit mean to put him in the bunker.
Yeah, I think it is harsh,
I found out that the reason why that was the case is actually for no other reason than other than his ties with Marcus Rashford and his relationship that he had with Marcus Rashford. Now, I think in terms of team spirit building and team morale and building that culture and that chemistry,
it's just part of the old
world. Amorim very much saw him too connected to Rashford and his antics.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Maybe going out of Manchester probably has something to do with it as well, which doesn't have these things, but he remains. But finally, I can confirm that we will no longer have to speak about Jadon Sancho of Manchester United ever again, unless they trigger a one-year extension in his contract to hold market value, which if anyone does at Manchester United, there'll be riots because that would be the stupidest thing.
I'm genuinely surprised he's gone. I thought he was going to hang on.
No, from what I was hearing, mutterings was that he would be the most difficult to shift, and don't be surprised to see him stay.
I think what a stinky bit of business. So for those who don't know, Jadon Sancho has gone on loan to Villa, and Villa are covering 80% of his wages.
Yes.
Which is a big, big chunk.
It's about 280K.
For a player who hasn't played well in, what, four years? He hasn't since he's been at kind of
because
that
it's
top
funny
level.
As well, because everyone was like, oh, he's back when he went back to Borussia Dortmund on loan. So because people don't watch him. So he'd get like an assist every four games, and then you'd see it clicked up on Twitter and be like, oh, Jadon Sancho's back. But let's be realistic. Not really. It's what happened with Rashford. Play stinky for a few games, get a goal or an assist when he was at Villa.
He looked all right at Villa, though. I think he had
a good game in the Champions League, and then everyone says he's back. But he got hooked for Barcelona 45 minutes into his first start last week. So
God, you're just a...
I'm just a true speaker. Anyway, so the bomb squad have been removed.
That's probably the best bit of business that you've done. I think that's taken away. Let's talk about the big two, which we have spoken about already.
Well, this is what gives me my redeeming thing.
Acuna and Mbeumo signings are
two top players who, frankly, have looked our two best players at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Although it hasn't been a great start to the season. I thought Mbeumo had a fantastic game against Burnley. He's so good at just taking really nice touches and cutting in with that touch.
He creates things, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's just, you know, anterior pelvic.
71 mil.
Yeah, well, as I wrote about, sadly for Manchester United, this is where it kind of goes down for me in the negotiation side of things.
Sorry, because I jumped in there.
Cunha, obviously, was 62.5 million, and that was so plain and simple because it was a release clause. We knew he wanted to come. But what they thought was a really good shining light on Manchester United's recruitment actually was used as a stick by Brentford to beat Manchester United with, because they were then able to be like, well, you just paid 62.5 million for Cunha and our guy just got more goals than him, more assists, you know, overall probably had a better season in a better side. We want more money. Mm-hmm. And that meant Manchester United found themselves, instead of probably paying the 60 million you could probably argue that he's worth,
probably
an extra 10 million. I don't think it's a bad amount. Look, no, we've spent 71 million on Fred.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But you look at the rest of the market. If Madueke is going for 55,
maybe it probably is worth
that extra 15
million. Absolutely.
Mil,
if I'm looking at Kudos going for 55, yeah. I'm thinking Mbeumo for an extra 15 million, 100%.
Probably is, yeah, exactly. 100%.
Probably similar wages and stuff as well. So. And obviously Mateus Cunha, I've liked what I've seen. He looks Maverick-esque.
Yeah, went off injured, obviously, didn't he?
He did. So, and there's been no further, I mean, not that I've seen anyway, no further diagnosis on his injury. But just those two signings alone immediately raised the ceiling.
Yeah.
And they're great. But the reason why I'm going at a C+ is not really because of those two and how good they could probably be. It's because this Manchester United squad needed so much work done.
Yeah.
And they find themselves in a really difficult position where they financially are just unable to get all the work that's necessary done in this team in one window. But what they have done is replace, well, Rasmus Højlund obviously has gone to
Napoli
on a loan with a conditional obligation to buy for 43 million in total. So I think 38 plus X for loan fee, on the basis that they're Napoli qualify for the Champions League. So what Manchester United have done, which is this is where I'm questioning the recruitment strategy a bit more, is replaced a raw 22-year-old £70 million striker with a raw £22 million striker, essentially.
22-year-old £73 million striker, Benjamin Sesko, who, again, I think it's too early to kind of say anything about him at the moment.
We don't know. Who knows? I'm just scarred. I said I wasn't scarred, but I am scarred.
Everyone's scarred,
aren't they? From what I've seen already, it just looks like he's going to take a while to get into gear and, and switch around and whatnot.
I mean, there was the weird thing, wasn't there, on the weekend that when Cooney did go injured, he didn't bring on Sesko. Instead, they brought on
Xerxes. They're just going to be really slow and cautious with him, which really frustrates me because he costs a lot of money, and I just wish they would.
Again, maybe he was still looking at houses.
Maybe he had a house viewing. And then to round Manchester United's bid, so jury's not quite there yet on him. We're not sure yet.
No, this is all So this is all as we see it now,
again,
isn't it?
We got rid of Højlund, so we needed a striker. And do I think Benjamin Sesko was the worst striker on available?
He can jump very high. What else do you need?
Personally, I actually would have preferred Nick Voltermate from Stuttgart, the Newcastle signing.
Oh, yes, of course. Million. Yeah, which
I like him, man. He's cool. But I'll take Sesko for the time being. And then to round off Manchester United's transfer business, Manchester United made a deadline day signing, which is always very exciting, in Sen Lammens. Lammens.
Is it Lammens?
He did the video. Sen Lammens. a 23-year-old goalkeeper from Royal Antwerp. We paid £18.2 million. Very much smokescreen final. To be fair, it's quite funny because Manchester United are obviously heavily linked with Emi Martinez of Aston Villa on the final day, left out of the squad.
Yeah, who I think was Palace. I think he probably would have been the better choice for goalkeepers if he had to sign.
100%.
In terms of if he, like, obviously, how old is this guy? Is he 23 or something?
I just don't know if this guy's good or not. Like, I'm not going to sit here.
No one does.
Look, you can watch as many fail or good comps of him on Twitter or whatever as you can, but with a goalkeeper, you don't know until he's in front of the Old Trafford crowd and the first ball comes in the box. Does he run out and claim it? Does he give everyone that sense of calm? No one's going to know until we see him in the shirt.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that Emi Martinez called up Amrin and Licha Martinez to beg them to be like, come on, guys, please sign me. And he genuinely thought it was going to happen. And then actually, Man U never even bid for him, which is a shame. Yeah. So I would have really liked to have seen Martinez.
That would have been really interesting
in
to
a
see.
Manchester United shirt.
I think probably would have been better.
The reason why we didn't is because he's on more money than Onana, for example.
Mm.
And Aston Villa would have wanted a package of around £30 million for Martinez. So the ghost, we just don't have that kind of money available. You can imagine Lammens is probably not on much at all.
Probably coming in on £30,000 a week or something.
Literally,
isn't it?
You know, Royal Antwerp, he's going to be on not much at all. And now all of a sudden he's going to be on 40k maybe.
Yeah.
And scope probably, whereas Emi Martinez would have cost a bomb. We couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
But we'll get behind him and we'll be interesting to see. So I think overall, like, it could have been better. We could have got different targets. Like, say if we had got the Emi Martinez, we'd have got a center midfield, like central midfielder who we actually wanted. And maybe a different striker because we're just quite, and then I could probably put it in like that. Higher B A echelons,
yeah.
But in the minute, I'm kind of happy with C and happy to be proven wrong.
I think C plus is probably fair.
Yeah.
I think giving anything higher than that would be
biased.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm changing my score to an A plus because Victor Lindelof has departed the club, and
that is
pretty huge. And we've also sent every single bloke ever out on loan.
Yeah, there's a lot of loans going on.
A lot of loans.
But right, moving on from Man United, then C plus from both of us there. Let's go to the Chelsea. Chelsea have had a very busy window, especially for outgoings. You're looking at this list now, and I think I'm not even going to count how many players that is, but I think it's something like 250 million of money that's come in.
They've made a net profit. They've gained £322 million.
Don't know how they do it. It all feels dodgy.
It's all illegal.
Feels weird.
Well, did you see the, just before we go into the actual big signings, that Chelsea sold a player to Strasbourg?
Yeah.
And then 33 days later, signed him back.
Yeah.
Illegal.
I don't know how they're going to get away with this.
So you're telling me Crystal Palace gets penalised being in European competitions, and Chelsea does all of this, and it's just like, I don't know.
Some of the big, kind of the biggest outgoings from Chelsea then. Petrovic going to Bournemouth for 25 million. I don't know how they got 25 million for him. Obviously, Kepa, Arsenal, 5 million, who cares? But Awake, Arsenal, 52 million. Joao Felix for 43 million to Al Nassr. What's happened to him? That stinks.
Illegal.
It stinks. Drewsbury Hall going to Everton for 29 million.
Great signing.
Great signing for Everton.
Huge fee. How have they made a profit
I think it's. I think it probably is. By the way, Harry, if you are listening, a friend of the pod, Harry, sent me a very strong word.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Text. We didn't mention Jack Grealish and Everton last week and their hot start. And you know what? We're not going to do it again.
Yeah. So, we might do it back next week.
Yeah. No, we'll see. Drewsbury Hall, like I said, so many, like 20, Brozier, 20 million. You got Vigo, who's gone for 26 million.
To Burnley. 20 mil. Is 20 that 24 mil?
Yeah.
No, wait, how much? 23
million.
Gosh, Broger, 20 mil to Burnley. That stinks. That's probably Nkunku, one of the worst.
36 OAC. And yeah, so they've made a good chunk of money here. And then on the back of that, they bought, I mean, the biggest one's really, I think João Pedro, obviously, for 60 million. He looks like he's started
very
strong.
Yeah.
I've just put him in my fantasy team, actually.
He's been in mine all along.
Yeah, I just added him to it. Liam Delap, obviously, who pulled up injured on the weekend with a hamstring.
Could join Manchester United.
Could have. 30 million, I think, seems like a steal, really. Mm-hmm. Who else are we talk about here?
Estevao Willian looks very good.
He looks, is he 19 or something? 18, 19?
I think he's, he's younger than 19.
Yeah, 29 million for him from Palmeiras. Mm-hmm. Saar as well, they got from Strasbourg for 12 mil.
Also, I want to shout out probably the weirdest transfer of the transfer window, Facundo Buonanotte. Signing on loan with no obligation from Brighton is incredibly strange, considering he was about to go to Leeds on loan, which in my mind makes so much sense. Because
how are they?
Leeds,
I don't understand that.
Honestly, I think either Brighton have like dirty photos of Chelsea, and just I've got something over him where it's like, you got to do whatever we say.
Yeah, it's probably it's something
like
that.
They're probably gonna be like, yo, we'll give you the next player for this price, but you got to take Facundo Buonanotte on loan with no obligation. Just because.
Just because, why not? It's some dodgy book bending, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And that feels illegal. Yeah. But
I think, obviously, Garnacho as well for 40 mil. Yeah, and then Gittins for 51. Sorry, I just finished off.
No, it's all right. What I want to add for Garnacho is I really hope he enjoys playing with no atmosphere, no vibes, and watching from the bench. Because
you know what? I was just saying controversial here because we despise Chelsea on this pod. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best sounds in the Premier League is when Chelsea get a goal. Or like a big goal, and there's the banging at Stamford Bridge on
mid.
I do really like that.
Stamford Bridge has no stadium culture. Rubbish. He's going to have the worst time. And also, good for him because they brought Gittins for more money than him, so there's more jeopardy involved with Gittins. Secondly, they've also got Giovanni Quenda coming in from Sporting next year, mm-hmm. who is apparently the next best thing ever. But guess what? Also plays on the left or the right.
Yeah.
So eventually, someone's got to not play when someone... One of these is going to be amazing. They've got Estevao on the right, got Cole Palmer, they've got all these players. One of them's going to not have to play.
I don't know how much time Garnacho generally gets this season. Like, I know he's probably come in and he'll have the mindset.
He needs his ego flattening, so hopefully not.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen, is it?
You know what? Just after the international break, not the first week, the second week, Manchester United versus Chelsea.
Yeah, you're City next, haven't you?
City next,
and then after Chelsea.
Yeah. So that'd be really. But we beat Chelsea, man. I can't lose to Chelsea.
If you had to give Chelsea's window a grade, what would you go for here?
Yeah, A-.
I was going to say B+.
Yeah, no, I just think to trade all those players, I'm not even that like enamoured with who they've brought in, for example.
No, but they've done really well.
To bring £322 million in.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Selling people like Broja, Ugochukwu, just Joao Felix, to get all those players off the books. Just as a, from a fan of a team who can't sell players.
Yeah, like, same. Yeah, both of us though.
Fairs. And that, yeah. That's an A minus. Yeah. I'd say like their incomings, I'd put them at like a B minus.
But then with their outgoings,
yeah. That's an A++. I think so that's an A minus.
Well, going from one team who have earned a lot of money with their outgoings to one team who have spent a lot of money.
They have, haven't they, Cormac?
Let's look at Liverpool's transfer window.
Talk me through it, man.
So, I mean, start off, Kirke's 40 million. Solid signing, I think. It's been a bit up and down so far. Then you got Florian Squirts for a, at the time, Premier League transfer record signing of 116 mil. And then you got Jeremy Frimpong for 26.5 from Leverkusen, which actually I think a great bit of business, really. And then you got, I can't even remember how you said this fella's name.
Marmadashvili,
that's it, 29 mil. Again, don't really know enough about him yet, to be honest. Ekitike for 79 million, who we all thought was going to be their starting number nine this season. But then there was a little bit of a deadline surprise, I guess, which we'll come on to. Woodman from Preston, great signing, maybe signing of the year for free. No one knows about him. And then obviously the big one, which I'll just hit on here, Alexander Izak for a deadline day, Premier League record fee, £125 million. It's been the saga of the summer. It's been going on long enough. No one knew if he was actually going to go. But then I think it was after the game on Sunday, Arsenal-Liverpool, that the bomb basically dropped, that Izak was on his way. There was a fee agreed, and he had signed for Liverpool. And 125 million, I mean, it's hard to get a better transfer window, I think, than what
that's
Liverpool
has
done.
That's an A-plus transfer window, because that's just pure vibes. You're bringing in Jeremy Frimpong, Hugo Ekitike looks amazing, the best striker in the Premier League last season.
This is what Man United did with Fergie, isn't it? They bought just the best players.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, not even on that level, to be honest.
No, they win the league and they go, oh, okay, he was really good for that.
You'd be surprised how conservative like Manchester United were under Fergie, to be honest, really. They never did anything like that.
In terms of kind of like, oh, he's the best player, let's grab him. Not like spending 300 million.
No, I mean, that's probably comparable to the summer that Real Madrid bought Kaká and then Ronaldo.
Yeah, even though Kaká was arse, actually, wasn't he, for Madrid?
Yeah, he was. And they brought Benzema and
well, I mean, time will tell with that one more than anything else. But
I mean, Hugo Ekitike straight away looks ace. But like, if I was Manchester United, when I say I'd wish we'd prefer, like maybe bought someone other than Sesko, Hugo Ekitike would have been electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
Florian Squirts, I actually don't think he's worth that money at all. I think if you pay 60 million for him, cool. But I don't think he's worth.
He'll come good. I think he'll
struggle to justify it.
Yeah, I mean,
because the thing is, someone like Moises Caicedo, who will cost 105 million. He's going into it. No one's expecting output. Whereas if he ends the season, Florian Wirtz, with, say, 7 goals and like 9 assists in all comps, that's not the output of someone who's worth 116 million. And I think he'll get scrutinised for that. Unless he hits like 15 goals and assists, that's how I think he's marked as a success. Yep. Do I think he's going to get that this season? It looks like he's struggled. So far
he has. He looked better actually in the second half against Arsenal.
He's about 15 yards too deep on the pitch. He needs to push up about 15 yards.
Gary Neville kept shouting at him on the commentary.
Yeah, that's where I went it from.
Get up! He just looks like he's half a second off it. But again, I think that will come with time. I think you're right.
Alexander Isak to Liverpool is insane.
Terrifying.
Obviously on this podcast, we had different views on whether we thought that was going to happen or not. But I did not think that was going to happen.
Again, I did, but also I could see it. Like, it was impossible to call, really.
I just didn't think there was a striker available for Newcastle to buy.
Yeah, as soon as they brought in the big fella, I thought, okay, he's on the But yeah, I mean, obviously the big one that Liverpool didn't get in on deadline day was Gehi, who all confirmed, agreed, he did his medical at Liverpool. And then last minute, Palace, who were signing a player whose name is now escaping me. You got it?
Oh, the centre-back?
Yeah, the Palace one.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, he's a 19-year-old kid from Toulouse.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So Palace were trying to sign someone. That fell through. And then they pulled out of the Gehi and Liverpool saga as well. So they pulled out that literally probably in the last 2 hours or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's one of those. That would have, you know, given Liverpool. That's the one point I think you can look at this window and go, okay, Liverpool, maybe they could have gone for a centre-back. That being said, if they thought they needed one that desperately.
Well, they did get one. They got Giovanni Leone.
Yeah, again, but we don't know enough about him, really.
No, but
he's
absolutely enormous.
He is a big boy, and he looks scouse as hell.
He does even look though scouse he's Italian. As hell. Dangerous combination.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll talk about some of their outgoings as well. Obviously, the big one being Nunez. Getting 56 mil for Nunez is pretty great. Again,
you're telling me that Nunez is worth more than Garnacho? I'll use it as a yardstick for everything ever.
Diaz going to Bayern Munich for 65.
Oh, Ponsa, that's a scam.
Ponsa going to buy Leverkusen to what was once Ten Hag's Leverkusen. No more for 35 mil.
Only Tyler Morton to Lyon. He's had a fantastic start.
Yeah, I've seen some bits about him. Harvey Elliott obviously going on loan to Villa.
That's both an obligation.
Is it? Number 9 shirt he's been given, by the way, guys. Disgusting behaviour, that.
In what world does Harvey Elliott deserve to wear a number 9 shirt?
And then Nat Phillips going to West Brom, which is always a bit of fun. I forgot Nat Phillips.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
That's the only maybe little caveat you can give on Liverpool here is they didn't get that starting centre-back. And I think if they were that worried, they maybe would have done it earlier, unless they were really banking on getting...
They'll probably just get him in January.
Yeah, I think he might stay for the season now, to be honest. Especially in the lead-up for the World Cup, obviously.
I really, really hope that he signs a new contract at Palace.
That'd be nice.
And that, but so he doesn't leave for free.
Yeah.
What needs to be stipulated here is, he says, look, okay, I'll sign a contract, release clause, 30 million, Liverpool only. If that's what he wants and that's what he thought he was getting, sign a contract, 30 mil, next
year.
One year extension, go. 30 mil next year. Don't go for free. He's too good of a person for that. Scored a banger, by the way.
He did score a banger. And that was really cool.
It's a shame he didn't leave, because that's one awesome way to...
I know. It would have been a great... I mean, he was very emotional. Apparently, like, there was obviously the reports and stuff that came out afterwards. Apparently, he was devastated. Which, understandably, because he's emotionally probably completely locked into Liverpool.
He's probably thinking, I have a chance now of winning the Premier League this season and the Champions League, and then going into the World Cup as the England starting centre-back.
Yeah.
But I think he probably still will.
I think he's probably up. Best centre back, actually, to be honest, at the moment.
Well, Conza fans would tend to disagree with me, but I'm not one of them, so.
But yeah, I think A+ transfer window for Liverpool.
Yeah, 100%.
If it goes as well as like we think it could go,
they got everyone in so early as well, except Isak.
But that was always tricky, and that's going to be the scare. I don't know how they're going to.
And also, they just had Newcastle pants down, which is quite funny.
Really funny. We'll come on to Newcastle. Yeah. But yeah, going on to the next one, we've got Manchester City, who have had a fairly weak transfer window.
Oh, Shammy out of grade.
We've got Reinders, as he's really called, for 46 mil. Got Eitan Nuri from Wolves for 36 million. Bettinelli from Chelsea. They got Ryan Cherki. Thank you, God. From Lyon for 34, who's now obviously injured for about a month or so, I think. Nepan?
Who's Sven Nipan?
I missed that completely.
Arsenal almost signed him. He's the very, very young child from Rosenborg.
I do recognise him, actually. Yeah. Anyway, signed him for 12.
And has since then gone on loan to Middlesbrough.
There you go. Yeah. Makes sense. And then James Trafford for 31 mil. But on the back of that, James Trafford's 31 million. On deadline day, they signed Gianluigi Donnarumma for 26 million.
You know what?
PSG.
I'll start with the controversy.
Go on, hit me.
This stinks. I'm giving it a day.
Whoa,
I'm giving it a day. I think that stinks. The only reason I'm not giving it an F is because they signed Tijani Reinders.
Yeah, who, again...
And that's crazy for me to see, because as much as I hate City and what they stand for, I've always appreciated their efficient operation.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That stinks.
I think they've always had such great windows, really, haven't they?
Yeah. They've lost Kevin De Bruyne. They've lost Edison. They've lost Ilkay Gundogan, Jack Grealish, Victor Rice, who they signed for 30 mil from Palmeiras in January, has gone out on loan. I think their January signings have stunk the place out, except Marmoush, who looks fine, but even still, I think James Trafford and
Gianluigi
Donnarumma both aren't great goalkeepers. I think Donnarumma was going to really struggle in that Serie A. I think he's really going to...
Well, he was, really again, maybe the best keeper in the world last season.
Nah, don't be fooled, man. He can't play out from the back.
I know, which is
why... He can't claim crosses for a big guy. He's very good at shot-stopping if he wants to be.
I don't understand why Pep's gone for him.
I can't believe they've gone for him. And James Trafford lost all authority. And, and James Trafford has hardly convinced... and I just cannot get on board with the bloke whose last name is Trafford playing for Manchester City.
Yeah, that's cursed.
Ryan Shirky looks like he's not... He obviously scored his debut. He's now injured for 2 months.
Yeah.
Phil Foden's nowhere to be seen. I know he's not a transfer, but what's he doing?
Yeah.
Who else we got? Ait Nouri. Again, don't mind it, but I don't think he's defensively sound enough.
I think you look at that back line on the weekend that City played.
They didn't buy a right back.
And it stunk. Genuinely.
They didn't buy a right back.
Because Kyle Walker's obviously gone as well. Kyle Walker's kind of gone. He was washed anyway.
They've got
really
such a flux, like a vacuum now of like players that have gone. It was so important. I think, there's only like Bernardo Silva, Phil Foden must have been about 17. They've only got like three or four players
from
who
the
were there
season.
When they got that 100-point season.
Yeah.
I just think that back three.
I mean, that back four that they played on the weekend, Ait Nouri, that Kusilov, who's the Kazakhstani.
AK-45
strong. John Stones and Nunez is a right back in the Trafford goal. That doesn't scare any team. Whereas if you look at their back line of the past when they've had the likes of Kompany there.
But where's Ruben Dias? He's on the bench.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on.
But then he's brought on for half time. Ruben Dias and Pep have had this weird thing going on for a few years where he's just stopped playing him.
Yeah.
But he is their best centre back. They've lost Akanji.
Yeah, Akanji's gone. Ake has stayed. I thought he was going to be on the way
but
up.
Ake, he's getting older now. Kovacic, he's out at the minute. And it's just like, I'm looking at him.
I'm saying, I think you said D, haven't you? I'm going to say C minus.
Oh, man. The more I look at that.
I know. You look at that Inns list, and that is...
That is rubbish.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of going crazy as well, because they brought all these players in before the Club World Cup, and they just haven't brought anyone else in since, except two mid-goalkeepers.
Yeah.
And God knows what Donnarumma's wages are as well.
Ugh.
And I think he signed a 5 or 6 year contract.
Oh,
screams problem. I'm a Man U fan. I know what a problem signing looks like. That's a problem signing.
That stinks. That does stink. But, you know, anyway, thanks, Man City, for giving us something.
Yeah, I needed it. Thank you, Injector.
You know what we'll do? We'll talk about Newcastle, shall we? Because they've had a hell of a window.
I actually think they've had a really good window.
They've turned it around because there were moments where they were getting rejected left, right, and centre from everyone that they were approaching. Obviously, Isak has had an absolute saga throughout, and he's ended up leaving 125 million. But all their ins, you got Alanga for 55 mil, who's probably, again, that is just the going price for these kind of wingers at the moment, isn't it? Ramsdale as well from Southampton on loan, probably maybe signing the season. Mikel Four from AC Milan for 34 million. Jacob Ramsey for 43, quite steep. Wattelmay, is that how you say it? Wattelmay?
Voltemar.
Voltemar, God.
Walter Messi.
Sorry, the nation of Germany. For 69 million, a lot of money, 6 foot 6. And then Visser as well for 55 mil. So, again,
give me a grade.
I think everything considered, I think I'm just going to go for a flat B.
Interesting. I'm going to go for a C.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, you just said you had quite a good window and then you've gone for
but
go on, here we go.
This window has fluctuated from an F to like a B.
Okay.
In my opinion.
So you're hitting it in the middle.
Yeah.
I think they've recovered really well because obviously they lost, like I said, they lost Isak. They lost Longstaff, I guess, would probably be the other one.
The fact they got 20 million from Juventus for Lloyd Kelly is an A in itself.
Yeah, that's hilarious, actually. Again, I forget Lloyd Kelly exists. But I think this is an improvement on what they have.
But
what?
1 year left on his contract and 29 years old.
Yeah, I know, 55 million.
Optically, if he comes in and scores 15 Premier League goals, no one's going to care.
No.
But I imagine he's probably signed a 4 or 5 year contract and he's probably on good wages.
He did a kind of baby Isak as well, didn't he, to get out of Brentford. Mm-hmm. He did a big statement the day before the deadline and kind of being like, I don't know, agreement.
Yeah.
Right, this goes for everyone listening, including you, Taylor. Don't take anyone's word in any company ever. Get everything written down and signed or seen
on paper
or email at the bare minimum. You need things on paper because otherwise people are going to back out of things.
Yeah.
And if this transfer window hasn't taught anyone anything, it will be that.
Yeah.
Just and, get things in writing.
And before everyone shouts at Isak and Vissa for being merchants, football clubs will drop you at the literal slight moment. You know, anything that happens, the minute that you're out of favour. Look what Manchester United did. They literally had a bomb squad for players that they didn't want anymore. No one's going, Manchester United are horrible employers. Everyone's saying, oh, look at Manchester United, they finally gave me the pay up out. But then the minute someone wants to leave to go to Patches New, oh, they're disrespecting the club. Clubs disrespect players all the time.
It goes both ways.
Football is a short career, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do, understandably. And if you've been promised something and it's not being fulfilled for whatever reason, fair enough. You probably do need to kick your toes out the pram. Yeah. Because look what happened to Gay, and look what happened to Isak.
Yeah, that's true. But then you look at, obviously, Eze, and that's the best of everyone, because he's come to Arsenal and Palace are happy.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm going to go for B. I think, like I said, Alanga is definitely an improvement on what they have. I mean, yet to see about Wolfmate.
I think they've paid, looking at all those prices, I think they paid $10 million too much for every player.
I agree. I think Jacob Ramsey for $43 million, a lot of money.
Switch that who's three and four around.
Going to be a, probably, a, he's not going to start, is he? I mean, now maybe he is because there's been some injuries, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to start. But I think Newcastle can be happy that the Isak saga is just behind them now.
It's actually, 100%. I think to get that over and done with, I think to get Voldemort, because Bayern had bid three times for him.
I saw that, yeah.
Over the course of the summer. And Stuttgart were just like, I don't want you to go to Bayern, just go anywhere else. And for him to end up, for Newcastle to get Bayern's number one target, interesting.
I think you can't really complain. I think a B, again, maybe I'm being a little bit generous there, because I think just getting rid of Isak really gets rid of that daunting, kind of just all season going into January.
The team is the sum of its parts, and people will forget about Isak very quickly, because Newcastle will still score goals because they have good players.
Yeah,
so exactly. You'll be fine. And you got 125 million, which is going to help so much in terms of financial fair play. Yeah, and PSR moving on that, which has been a huge issue for Newcastle. So that's good. At least you got your value.
Yeah. And now an interesting one we're moving on to here. Spurs. I think they've had a very interesting window. I think they've had Danso from Lens, which was 20 million.
Made permanent.
Vucevic from Split for 9.5. I don't know anything about him.
I know something about him. Actually, I know two things about him.
Okay, go on.
Firstly, he's a very highly rated prospect. And last season, he was on loan in the Belgium League. And he had really good goal and assist numbers for a centre-back. Secondly, he's just moved on loan to Hamburg. That's where his brother plays. But his brother's currently banned for substance, for failing a drug test because of substance abuse. But he's a bit of a hero in the town of Hamburg. So if you were to go, you'd see the name Vucevic plastered everywhere because he's a bit of a hero. And they're saying that it was a bit of a sham. Now he's joined his brother in Hamburg alone. But he's also in my fantasy.
That's good fun. So, like that.
There you go. There's two things about
Vucevic. There you go. No, thank you for that. Matthias Tell, aside from Munich, for 29.9 mil. We just discovered hasn't made the Champions League squad, which is very strange. Kudos for 55 million from West Ham. I think that stinks. Paulinho on loan from Bayern Munich, but I think it's an option to buy at the end. And then Xavi Simons for 51 mil, which was the kind of, you know, last minute, well, not last minute, but the last week. And then deadline day business, Kolo Muani from Paris Saint-Germain on loan. I think it's a real mixed bag, all those ends, to be completely honest with you. If I had to give them a grade, B.
Really? I'm going to go for a C-.
Damn, C-? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why are you going so low?
I just think Spurs are mid.
Let's say we add in Thomas Frank as a signing. If you include that, does that change your C-?
I'm going to go to a C.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think kudos. I think he'll be fine, but I don't think 55 million.
It's been the summer of 50 million.
João Paulinho will serve his purpose.
He was great against City.
But he stunk the place out against Bournemouth.
I mean, they all did, didn't they? They were all...
They're the type of games you don't want to play João Paulinho in, but they kind of have to because you presume he's not going to play.
Yeah.
So, Xavi Simons, Premier League is incredibly physical. He's very good technically. How good technically is he?
That's the question.
You've got to be a Bernardo Silva-esque player to survive.
Which is a world-class level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting one, how that goes. I don't hope he does well, but I hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very good player, and he has, kind of always been around, and it's going to be interesting to see him in the Premier League now. Can I see him absolutely smashing it at Spurs? Honestly, no. If I had to say something like that, I mean, it's too early really to say anything.
I can tell you exactly now. Kevin Danso, fourth choice centre back, L.
Yeah.
Vukcevic could be good in the future. Who's to say? Tell has a made Champions League squad. What's going on there? Yeah. Weird. Takai, some random Japanese from the Japanese J League.
Yeah.
Kudos probably could be a miss. Wouldn't be surprised. Polina could be average because against the good, like the big teams, he can be defensive. But
yeah.
Shit teams, he's really going to struggle.
Has he got the legs? Yeah.
Xavi Simmons could be hit or an extreme miss. Either or, no one's going to say. Colomani might get 9 goals in all competitions.
I think Moani's a decent loan. A good backing to have, I guess, for strikers. They've got Richarlison and Solanke. But yeah, I think I've said B, which I'm now thinking about. Maybe I've been a C plus. Many of them. C plus.
Thank you, Spurs. It's been a pleasure. And I think, have we hit all the six there?
Well, we've been talking. Yeah, we've been going for an hour.
We've been going for a while.
50 minutes now.
Sorry, guys. We've been talking for a minute. We're going to do a quick crash course.
It is only transfer deadline day once.
Twice.
Summer January. Transfer deadline day once a year. Go. Been such a big one.
It has been. It's been probably one of the biggest in recent history. We'll do a quick crash course on all of the others. Aston Villa.
Massive L.
They've had a rough win.
I'm giving Aston Villa an F.
Oh, is that because they've taken Sancho?
No, I'm saying that's because they lose 3-0 to Palace and they bring in Lindelof, Elliot and Sancho. And that is panic buying at his finest.
Yeah.
And before that, they brought in who? Marco Bizzo. Do you see that interview?
I did see that. Yeah. Marco Bizzo.
Marco Bizzo. Every we have a breakfast. Fine. Marco Bizzo. That for me was the moment of the transfer window.
I'm going to give them a C minus.
C minus.
I just don't.
Name me one player you're impressed with. Okay, Elliot, I can understand.
Elliot will be fine.
But name me one other player on that list which quantifies a C minus.
There's a certain Jadon Sancho I'm seeing who I think he's going to go for a 10 10.
Yeah. You know what? If he gets more goals and assists than anyone in Manchester United, I'm going to.
Yeah. Bournemouth, I think they've, all things considered, they've lost their entire back line. I think you can give them a B minus for what they've done.
Man. Bournemouth
A's. I do have a soft spot for Bournemouth. Again, there's one of those really well run clubs, even though they just buy Petrovic from Chelsea for 25 mil, which feels a little bit steep. I B minus.
Yep, cool. Yeah. Ben Doak for 25 mil after three Premier League appearances, I think is. But sure.
Yeah, I mean, and also all the amount of money they got for
getting
their back line.
42 million. No, did they buy Ouattara or did they sell Ouattara? That is what. Oh, they've sold to Brentford.
Where are you looking?
The fact that Brentford and Bournemouth are exchanging players for 40 million, considering this was like a League Two fixture like 15 years ago, is insane.
It is.
That shows how broken the Premier League is.
But, you know, 54 million for Zabani, Kirkes 40 mil, and Hoysen for 50 mil. And that's great for Bournemouth, really. I think it's good to get that kind of money.
That's their model.
Speaking of Brentford, just mentioned.
They're going to struggle.
They are going to struggle.
I'm giving them a D.
Reece Nelson's desire to stay in London is unmatched. It's sensational.
And stay at Arsenal
100k a week. So he's on loan to Brentford. Obviously, Jordan Henderson gone there on a free as well. Kelleher from Liverpool, I think, is a good signing. Other than that, pretty mid. They got good money for the players they had out. Have they bought enough in? Hard to say. I think probably a C.
I'm giving him a D. I'm impressed.
I'm going to go for. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see Ben Mee left as well, actually. Went to Sheffield,
yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, well.
I feel like he still has something to offer.
Yeah, I thought he was all right last year. Again, I'm not going to say I watch Brentford every week, but, you know. Brighton, I mean.
Who's to say? Who fucking knows? You can't grade them because, for all I know, Yoon Do-young could be the next best thing ever, and I have no idea.
I'm going to give them an A+.
Give them an A+ because they just keep.
They might have smashed
every
it
every single year.
60 mil for João Pedro, I think that's great business. Obviously, like I said, just gone to Chelsea, just smashed City.
Who Matt O'Reilly leaving, by the way? Weird one.
Yep. Evan Ferguson on loan to Roma. He's had an absolute fall.
No, but he's so young that he could still have the rise.
I hope he does. Because I really liked him when he was kind of the next best thing. He's had a few injury problems
in
as well.
If Twitter folk could have anything to do with it, Manchester United would have bought him for £100 million to our authority. Lost again.
Another of us. 2-1, by the way.
Yeah.
And then Burnley, I mean, they bought in a bunch of guys.
Do you think? Yeah. They, like, look, Tashuna, Lazio, 12 mil.
Yeah.
I think this was a winger who got 3 goals last year. It's just not going to keep you up in the Premier League.
No, Kyle Walker, 5 million. They've got that Marcus Edwards from Sporting, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, but I think he was better a few years ago.
Yeah,
he just brought a lot of mid.
They're not going to stay up, are they?
No,
they're not. 20 mil. I mean, we've spoken
about Fiorentina Luiz from Benfica on loan. I can't remember who did that and who brought him to the Premier League a couple of years ago. Was it West Ham or something like that?
It was one of those other teams, wasn't it?
And he sucked.
Yeah. Obviously, 31 mil for Trafford, which I think they're actually going to be a bit miss out on really there.
I'd have just kept him.
I'm going to say D probably as well. They're probably going down. Palace, obviously keeping hold of Gehi, I think, is probably actually quite huge.
But they really struggle to bring people in that they want to.
Yeah,
I'm
they
really
do.
I'm really excited to see Christian Uche from, I think they brought him from
Getafe.
He looks good.
Yeah,
He looks like a big boy.
Pino as well looks all right.
Pino does look good. That's his name, Canvo.
Yeah.
JD Canvo.
And then obviously getting almost 70 mil for Eze. I think that's probably...
Yeah,
all they could have asked for, really, because he was always going to go.
I'm saying C, just because I think they did what they could. They brought as many players as they could in. I'm sure the coach probably would have wanted a couple more.
I think so.
Signings.
I think I'm going to go C plus because they've kept hold of Gehi through. I mean, kind of pure luck more than anything else.
Does that also, C plus become a D though if they lose him for free?
No, not now. Because they are at the beginning of the season, and then obviously Michael Glasner is still here as well. Who I think is maybe a little bit too big for the likes of Palace, and he'll be moving on.
Well, he's only got a year left on his contract, interestingly. Exactly. I imagine that was used as leverage.
I imagine so. Everton, I think I'm going to give Everton an A minus. I think they've
had the last time anyone saw Everton have a good win, good anything, actually.
You know what? We will talk about Everton just very briefly, but Grealish has got 4 assists already for Everton.
He's on the bench in my fantasy.
Yeah, I saw that. Really funny. Drewsbury Hall, I think, is a very good signing for them. I think Dibbling from Southampton.
They've gone for the low sock gang. It seems to be the remit this summer, which I'm a fan of, and I wouldn't have taken Everton as a low sock gang.
No, not at
all. Thing, but they've done it, and it seems to be successful so far.
Yeah, I think they've had a great window, to be honest with you. New stadium, got Big Barry up top now from Villarreal.
Shout out Herb for having Beto in his fantasy win, who scored actually last weekend.
Rogue as hell, God. But no, I really like that from Everton. I think they've had a really good window.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have a really, for the first time in God knows how long, they're going to have a good season. And it might
might have a good season.
I think it's going to be good to be an Everton fan again, which it's been.
New stadium.
Exactly. I think it's very exciting. Begovic is still going, apparently. Oh my God, he's just been sent on loan to Leicester. I had no idea he was still playing football.
Is he not like 63?
He's something like that. How old is Begovic?
That's the young gone to Ipswich.
Yeah, I know. Well,
and Kieran McKenna.
I saw that earlier. Begovic, by the way, is 38.
So actually 1 year younger than James Milner.
Yeah. Calvert-Lewin as well off to Leeds, which we'll touch on in a second with Leeds. But yeah, Fulham, I think, have had a D minus, maybe even an E window. Really didn't bring in enough.
Carlos Vinicius left.
Yep.
Wow. I thought he was just fine. Where's he gone?
He's been released, apparently.
Yeah, but obviously that must mean end of contract. I didn't realise Carlos Vinicius left. I guess because they've got... he's not the bloke I was thinking of.
You're thinking of Munoz,
Because isn't Carlos Vinicius the one that played? Did he ever play at Spurs? He played Spurs, and he stunk the place. You know, a good thing that they did release him.
He's done.
Doesn't matter. Spend too much time thinking about him. You can always tell it's a doomed window when you're signing a very English-sounding Brazilian from Shakhtar Donetsk for lots of money.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it myself with Fred. So.
34 mil for Kevin is the only permanent signing Fulham made this window. Got 3 other loans.
Nah.
They were
the team which had famously only signed the backup goalkeeper until like the last few minutes of the window. Then signed Kevin, some random young striker from Bayern Munich, who's no one ever heard of. And then Chuck Weze, who's been not very good at AC Milan.
No,
and
he's really
just doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be good in the Premier League.
I think they've had one of the weaker windows in the whole league.
I'm going to give them an E.
Yeah, I think a D minus I'm going to go for. Fulham.
Do you like Fulham?
Yeah, I do like Fulham, but they've struggled. Leeds, you know what? They've bought in players. You can't doubt that.
Shame I know about one of them.
And is that Calvert-Lewin for free from Everton, by the way. Yeah, and then you got Longstaff for 12 mil. They've got Justin James in from Leicester, which I think is interesting. This was 3 years ago.
I'm going D.
I'm going to be nice again. I'm going to say C. I think they've done what they can, I think, with the kind of...
No Okafor for 18 mil, man. He's injured all the time. He's rubbish. AC Milan, very happy to let him go.
Yeah.
That screams relegation to me.
I think that's probably fair enough.
Yeah.
Liverpool we've already done. Man City we've already done. Man United we've already done. Newcastle we've already done. Nottingham Forest.
Oh, isn't it interesting? They got European football and decided to sign everyone.
Everyone. Zinchenko on loan, by the way. Special mention.
Last minute.
Yeah. Thank God he's gone out of my club. Thank you very much. Big signings include McAtee for 30 mil from Man City, which I think is probably, I mean, quite a lot of money, but he's a good player. Hutchinson for 37.5 seems crazy.
That stinks.
That's a lot of money to buy a player who was
okay
in the Premier League last year.
Maximum
okay. I mean, it's a great move for him.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to kind of see how he does. But
a lot of cans though, haven't they?
I know, a lot of money.
Dan Ndoi, 34 million from Bologna, started well.
He has started well. Yeah, Douglas Luiz, obviously, on loan, which I think is a very tidy bit of business.
Is it a great one because we know the name really well and we associate it with that good season? Because if they're signing the Juventus Douglas Luiz.
Is this going to be the kind of Rio Ferdinand and the QPR kit kind of situation?
Well, he's a lot younger, but I mean...
How old is Douglas Luiz? He must be 30.
No, he's like 28.
Surely not. He was so unbelievably linked to Arsenal, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievably linked to United.
He's only a year older than us. That fucking
sucks. That is crazy. And he's fallen off just like us.
He's just unk, man. I'm going to give Forrest a B, I think.
They've signed a Brazilian with an English name. I love that. John. He was linked to Manchester United, but thank God Manchester United decided not to sign a Brazilian with an English name.
Yeah, you can't be doing that anymore. Obviously, Alanga went for 55 mil to Newcastle as well.
They've signed so many players.
They've signed a lot of players. These are all outgoing sounds.
No, I'm just saying they got Bakwa from Strasbourg. He's a winger.
Yeah.
They also got Arnan Kilimwendo from Rennes for 25 mil. Some interesting players for like hefty fees.
Yeah, Dan and Doyle, I think we've already mentioned that.
Yeah, so interesting. Anyway, crack on. I'm giving them a B.
Yeah, I'll give them a B as well. I think
that's fair. Vibes.
Sunderland.
I feel like they're the Twitter choice.
C+.
Yeah, C+.
I think they've done what they can.
Enzo Lefebvre is cool.
Yeah, Jack is obviously great.
Yeah, Ronaldo, cool.
Sure.
You know what? Shout out Arthur Masuaku. I like that signing.
It's such a bizarre one.
Classic Premier League, like newly promoted Premier League team, just signing anyone who's been in the Premier League.
12 mil as well.
Was it 12 mil? No, yeah,
it's Brian Broby, by the way, for 21.3 mil.
No, that is because Mark Gahey got recalled on the final day because of Liam Delap's injury.
Damn.
And they recalled Mark Gay, who had been on loan for approximately 33 days.
Ooh.
And then, obviously, some of them needed strikers, so they went and brought Ryan Robbery, which I'm a massive fan of this. Because if Ten Hag had anything to do with it, he'd be playing for Manchester United right now.
21, yeah, and you would have paid 150 mil for Ryan.
Actually, I'm giving them an A, because I love... No, I'll tell you why. Because any club that buys Bertrand Traore for another stab at the Premier League is a fan of me. They have a fan in me.
God damn it. Another year, Traore. And also they got 32 mil for Jude Bellingham, who actually is slowly becoming... I saw some shouts from him in the England squad this past week, by the way.
Do you not see the whole thing about how his parents have now been banned from the Borussia Dortmund changing rooms?
God, no, I didn't see
that. Apparently, Jude Bellingham took off at halftime on his debut with his parents having flown over to specifically watch the game with them 2-0 up, and they later drew the game 2-2 or 3-3, Dortmund. And apparently, his dad's gone busting into the changing room, kicking off, and in front of senior officials at Borussia Dortmund, which has led to them being banned from the changing rooms and essentially the special areas which are reserved for players and staff. So well done them for being annoying.
That's a bit over the top, isn't it? Yeah. Spurs we've already looked at. West Ham. Oh, this has been a rough... looking rough for West Ham.
42 million for Matheus Fernandes, who I do think is a good player, granted. To think that they paid more for him than they did for Dibling.
I think Dibling was 42 as well, was he? With add-ons, it got 42. Okay.
But I don't think that's a bad signing.
No,
and obviously Callum Wilson scoring. It's just so funny because I didn't realise that all the stuff he'd said about West Ham on the podcast.
Now
I know that, I'd be fuming too.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but the thing about he's only on 5K a week unless he plays or something.
Yeah, believe it. These players get to that point.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Songutu Magasa from Monaco for 17.3 million.
I've no idea who he is.
Danger money to me. And the fact they spent 18 million on the keeper from Leicester and he looks rubbish already is not...
They did get 55 million for Kudos, which is, you know,
kudos
to that happy BBT.
which is very nice.
I'm getting them a C minus.
I'm giving a C minus as well.
I like their left back.
Yeah, I do as well. Wolves then. I think this is the last. Yes, it is. Yeah. So finally, Wolves. So obviously the big one. I'm not going past them there. It's funny. They signed technically Strand Larsen this window, didn't they? Because it was on loan last year for 23 million. They almost lost. They didn't almost lose him, but they could have lost him.
I'd have took that £60 million bid.
Yeah,
that's an ain't coming ever again.
No, not at all.
If you'd have asked Wolves fans in January, would you sell Strand Larsen for £60 million? 98% of them, and just in case, I'm just that 2% is Strand Larsen's parents who come to watch the game.
Yeah.
Would say yeah. And I can't believe some of the players they had sold and they wouldn't sell, you know, Aiden Uri for 40, 36 mil and they didn't sell Strand Larsen for 60. Yeah. Albeit they wouldn't have invested it properly, so fair enough.
Yeah.
They brought random players who I've never heard of, except actually I'm giving them an A because they signed someone called Wolf. And he also has a wolf tattoo. There's no better player to play for.
He was born to play for them in many ways.
To play for Wolves. And on that note, how could you give someone not an A if they sign?
Yeah, so true. A plus for Wolves.
Yeah.
Obviously making almost 100 million off Cunha and Aiton Nuri leaving as well. But there you go. There was an absolute breakdown, I guess you could say, of the entire.
You will not need to go anywhere else.
No, absolutely not. Obviously, that is, I think, going to be over an hour we've now spent on that. Thanks for listening to that, guys. I think we'll quickly do the Red and White scoreboard. We got to do the scoreboard. We are going to have another episode out this week. We'll do the kind of international, just a bit of fun to kind of keep us ticking over, essentially.
Keep some sanity in the situation.
Absolutely. But yes, moving on to the Red and White scoreboard, folks, which I am pulling up now. For those who don't know, or this is your first time listening, the Red and White Scoreboard is a weekly segment we do on this channel where we pick 5 games each week and we have to predict the score, and you get 3 points for the correct score and 1 point for the correct result and 0 point for anything else. This last week, the games that we picked...
Big week for 0 point.
God, it feels like a long time ago now, but it was Grimsby versus United, Oxford versus Brighton, Chelsea versus Fulham, Liverpool Arsenal and Rangers Celtic. Now, I've got this all lined up already because I come prepared to these kind of things.
You're good, aren't you?
I am good, aren't I?
Good.
Right, starting off then, Grimsby versus United. So as we know, that was 2-2. And who won a penalty, Taylor?
Actually, Grimsby, but I'm angry because they should have got kicked out of the competition for fielding an ineligible player, although that player did miss his respective penalty.
Yeah, really funny that. But Taylor predicted 5-0 United. I predicted 3-1 United. So neither of us get points on that one there. Then we had Oxford versus Brighton. I said 0-4. Taylor had 1-3. It was, in fact, 0-6, which gives us a point apiece. Then you're looking at Chelsea versus Fulham, which was it was 2-0, sorry. I predicted 1-0. Taylor predicted 2-2. So that gives me 1 point and Taylor 0.
I actually feel scammed because in another universe, I've probably got that right.
Yeah, you probably got. Oh, God, it's a good point, actually. Yeah, God, we haven't even talked about that. There's too much football. There's too much football. Liverpool Arsenal, I predicted 1-2. Taylor predicted 3-3. It was, in fact, 1-0. So 0 points for both of us.
We suck at this.
And then Rangers Celtic, I predicted 0-3. Taylor predicted 2-1. And that was also 0-0. So we got a bit excited, I think, last week. So that has given me on the week, that's given me 2 points and you 1 point, which now looking at the league table, which you'll see on your screen now, I am miles ahead by 1 point.
Huge.
To make it 8-7. 8 points to me, 7 points to Taylor in the league table. Now, this week, as everyone is dreading, it is the international break, which is great fun. So that means this week's games are going to be international break themes.
Well, do they have to be?
They don't, but there's going to be some in there.
There's going to be plenty.
There's going to be plenty. But as I won last week, I get the first choice of the game. I'm going to pick 3 games. Teddy gets to pick 2.
Are we going absolutely crazy?
We could go as crazy as you want, man.
We don't get to go crazy very often.
No, that's
sometimes
let's do
the
it.
Fixtures pick themselves.
I will pick first. So as today is the Wednesday, I'm going to go for tomorrow. So Thursday, probably the day that you guys might be listening to this. I'm going to pick one of the international games. And I am going to pick... Oh, God, this is going to get really rogue really quickly.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Luxembourg versus Northern Ireland.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I actually will not say what I was going to say until Cormac predicts, because I don't want to give him any of my tricks.
I'm going to back my boys, my Northern Irish lads.
Yeah, cool.
Or the North of Ireland, depending on where you line politically. I'm going to say 2-1 to them, I think.
Wow.
2-1 to Northern Ireland. Taylor, what are your thoughts?
I'm going for a Luxembourg win because Luxembourg have a very good youth team.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean anything on the senior squad. But I imagine I'm going to go for 3-1 Luxembourg.
3-1, very nice. Okay, good. So there should be some points for one of us there at the very least.
Unless unless it's a draw. Yeah.
Right, what have you got for me, Taylor, next game?
I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for...
Big decisions, big decisions.
Italy versus Estonia.
Okay, I like it. Estonia. What have you got for me there?
I'm going to go 1-1.
Absolute corker. I'm going to go 3-0.
That's an open goal for you.
I'm going to go 3-0.
Huge.
To Italy. This could be a week of scores, you know.
Yeah, this could be a week where we get no scores.
It could be. I'm going to go for a really boring one here. I'm just going to do England versus Andorra. I've got to get an England game in there.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to say 3-0 England, I think.
All right, I'm going to go 4-0.
Nice, there you go. Pretty boring.
Yeah.
Next game, Taylor, what have you got for me?
I'm going to go for Chelsea women versus Manchester City women.
I like it, I like it. We are inclusive on this channel.
We do it all, we do it all.
What are you saying for me there?
I'm going to go for 2-2.
I like it. I'm going to say Chelsea have got a very good women's team, and then City aren't bad. I'm going to say 3-1 to Chelsea women's.
Wow.
On that one there.
Definitive.
Yep. No messing around on that. And then finally.
What are we going for? Final game.
Oh, what's going on Monday night? I'm going to... Oh, God. Should I pick that one there? What do you reckon?
No. Probably not.
You guys probably figured that one out yourselves. I'm going to pick... Oh, God. This is dull. This week sucks.
International break. I say it every single time. Sucks.
I'm going to pick York City versus Tamworth in the National League, which is on Monday night. On Tuesday night, sorry.
Any York City folk / Tamworth, River-dwelling folk, shout out.
Again, this is all based off vibes. I mean, are we allowed to look at the league table here?
No.
All right.
Which is vibes. You said it. All vibes.
I feel like York, I feel like they should be better than...
You can back your boys.
My boys in York City.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to say 1-1. I haven't picked a draw yet.
That is weak.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 3-0 Tamworth.
Oh, huge result for Tamworth. I live on the road.
The most impossible name to say in the world.
Yeah, apparently it is. Yeah. I've been struggling with our words today. But there you have it, folks. That's the next week, week 4 of the Red and White Scoreboard. So you got Scoreboard.
Scoreboard.
Oh, my God, when will it end? Right, you got Luxembourg versus Northern Ireland, Italy versus Estonia, England versus Andorra, Chelsea women versus Man City women's, York City versus Tamworth. Can you tell it's an international break? We will check it again next week with how that goes. But yeah, that has been another episode, I think, of the Red and White Chalkboard.
Extensive.
Sorry we haven't been able to kind of talk about this last week's worth of football.
We'd love to,
but we just simply haven't had the time.
The 1 week Man U win and we can't even talk
about
it.
I mean, scrape a win and Arsenal lose as well, so we don't have to talk about that. But we will get another episode, I think, out this week.
Yeah,
hopefully on Saturday we're going to record another one, so hopefully you'll see that on Sunday or Monday. That will be predominantly England-based, I think, which is what everyone wants. Taylor, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please like, subscribe, share and all that fun stuff. Let us know what you think the scores are going to be. Check out the shorts and everything in between. Been a pleasure. Catch you next time.